If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to Acts chapter 10. I want to share with you two powerful words. Two words that I believe encase all that would be available to us by way of the resurrection. In Acts chapter 10, Peter is at the home of a man named Cornelius. He's there by way of divine appointment. You might remember the story. Cornelius was a Gentile. This is early in the book of Acts. The gospel hasn't quite spread yet, or is just beginning to spread. Not outside of Judaism, really. It's not yet been made available to the Gentiles. For the Jewish believers in Jerusalem, it's still an odd thing to think that Gentiles could be saved. In fact, still really a foreign thing to them. They just haven't experienced that quite yet. Cornelius has been praying, and there was granted to him an angelic visitation. Send men to Joppa and bring back a man named Peter. Peter, meanwhile, is praying. And there was granted to him a vision in the end, the meaning simply this: don't call anything impure that God has made clean. The Lord has perfectly set up the story. Cornelius's men are going to invite Peter into a Gentile home. And Peter is going to go because he now understands God doesn't show favoritism. Rather, he accepts people from every nation. Salvation is going to come to Cornelius, his home, and his family. Before Peter leaves, they will all be saved, water baptized, filled with the Spirit as well. And all of a sudden, the gospel is made available to all the world. Very specifically, the gospel in this moment, we would know, certainly it was before Jesus had commanded the disciples, go into all the world. The message was clear. Even into the Old Testament, Israel was always to be a light to the Gentiles. But now, in this moment, for sure, the gospel has spread even into the Gentile world. In his message at the home of Cornelius, Peter will introduce the resurrection of Jesus with two simple words. The resurrection of the Lord brings hope. This is what it does as we consider that the cross couldn't hold him, the grave couldn't contain him. There is hope that we experience in that. There's a hope that comes from no matter how bad Friday was, we know Sunday's coming. That's the resurrection hope that we live in. That's the promise that we have even of eternal life. Because Jesus has risen from the grave, so too will we. Can I remind you of that today? Can I encourage you in that? The Lord to tarry, there is a day of death coming for us all. But I believe it, I really do. It's not a word game that I try to play in the church. I believe it because I believe it's the word of Scripture. But Christians don't in fact die. Their body sleeps. Your body will sleep, but your spirit will be ushered immediately into the presence of God. To be absent here is to be present there with Him until that day the trumpet sounds and our spirits and our resurrected bodies are reunited again. It really is true. This is the hope that comes from the resurrection. And there's joy. And there's peace, and there's comfort, and there's courage and strength that comes. Jesus is alive. The resurrection of the Lord brings power. It brings victory. This is what we speak of. We speak of resurrection power. This is the word of Scripture that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. No wonder you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. No wonder we have the victory. Resurrection power is ours. And it's these two words that Peter's going to use in the home of Cornelius that become, if you will, the catalyst for the resurrection. These two simple words are the words that I believe would change everything for you and for me today. On this Resurrection Sunday, I just have two words for you. But it's just two words because I believe the two words are all you need. In Acts 10 and verse 36, Peter preaching the home of Cornelius. I'm sure you've heard about the good news for the people of Israel, that there's peace with God through Jesus the Messiah, who is Lord of all creation. This message has spread all through Judea, beginning with John the Baptist in Galilee. And you no doubt know that Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went around doing good and healing all who were possessed by demons, for God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Israel and in Jerusalem, where he was murdered on a cross. Verse 40, our two words. But God, brought him back to life. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. There was a crown of thorns put on his head as they made fun of the so-called king. He was spit upon. He was beaten. Scripture reveals to us his face was marred beyond recognition. He was whipped. The skin on his back peeled away by every lash of the whip, every bone even, and organ in his back exposed by the brutality of it all. He was laid upon the cross and nails pierced his hands and his feet. And a spear was thrust into his side, and the crowd shook their head in derision. He could save others. He can't save himself. Ha! You're going to destroy the temple. That's what you said. You'll destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. If you can do that, surely you can get yourself down from there. But you can't, can you? They heaped their insults on him. And he then breathed his last. He's forsaken, it's finished, and now he's dead. Wrapped up and buried in a borrowed tomb. And that's it. That's the end of the story. It's done. Can I remind you this morning, that is the end of the story for every other religion that people live by. Can I just remind you, that's how the story ends for every Muslim believer. Muhammad lived, Muhammad died, was buried, and is no more. He's gone. And for every believer in Buddha, and for every believer in any Hindu god, they lived, they did good, they tried to do good, they taught some spiritual and religious things, but then they died, they're gone, they're buried forever to be seen no more. But not so with us. We know that's not how the story ends. We know it doesn't finish there. Yes, he's breathed his last. He's forsaken, it's finished, and he's dead, wrapped and buried in a borrowed tomb. But this morning we know it in the context of Peter's message. Oh, but there are two words that remain. But God raised him back to life. Only two words, but they are the resurrection words. Death-defying, grave-defeating, fear-destroying, and hope-inspiring words, but God. With the resurrection and these two words, just two words spoken to introduce it by Peter, we are marvelously confronted with the hope. Listen, this is the hope of the resurrection, but God. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what hopelessness you're dealing with and you're faced with, but I'm just telling you this morning, these are the two words, these are the resurrection words, but God, the joy, the peace, the comfort and the courage, the strength, the power, the victory that comes from knowing, no matter Friday's brutality, no matter Friday's death, no matter Friday's brokenness, weeping and sorrow, for any such Friday, any other day that's just like Friday even as well, all we need are two words: but God. And listen to me, the worst of Friday can become the best of Sunday for you. I'm just telling you this morning. I don't know how your story reads right now. I'm just telling you. I don't mean to be insensitive, but I'm just going to say it like this. It doesn't really matter how your story reads right now, because all you need is two simple words: but God. And your Friday can turn into Resurrection Sunday. One author writes, "Have you ever really looked at the cross? It contains the truth about the mystery of evil in the world. There's so much evil around us. Criminal evil, political evil, economic evil, social evil. But the greatest evil ever committed took place right there on the cross. The evil of the crucifixion. This was without question the single most appalling act of ingratitude, deception, betrayal, depravity, obscenity, and malevolence of all time. God, the creator of everything and everyone, was killed by his own. The crime was not simply homicide or patricide or fratricide or even genocide. It was deicide, deity killed, murdered on the cross. No evil in life, no matter how terrible, could ever come close to the crucifixion and the death of Jesus. Oh, but God. What did God manage to do with this most monstrous of all human deeds? Out of the darkness of the crucifixion, he brought forth the light of the resurrection. But God, in a stunning and miraculous act of reversal, but God, the greatest evil, but God, turned evil on its head, redeeming mankind, making it possible for sins to be forgiven, for us to receive countless blessings during our earthly lifetime. On top of this, he threw open the gates of heaven so that one day we could all be reunited with our friends and loved ones in an eternity of happiness and heaven. But God, in dying for us, God didn't just bring a little good out of evil. He was somehow able to bring the greatest good out of the greatest evil. Don't miss that this morning. That's what just two words written into your story can do, can accomplish for you. But God, the greatest evil come against you, the greatest evil attacking you, the greatest evil, the greatest ingratitude, the greatest deception, the greatest betrayal, the greatest depravity. Listen, from the greatest evil cannot just come a little good, not just some good, but in fact, from it, God can bring about the greatest good for you. But God, no more horrible event could have taken place than the killing of Christ. No more wonderful gift could have been given to humanity than the resurrection. And if God was able to turn the worst kind of evil into the greatest kind of good, doesn't that also mean that he can turn lesser kinds of evil into good as well? Doesn't that mean he can take the bad things that happen to us in our lives and transform them into his blessing for us and on us? That's the power of the resurrection. That's the hope. That's the courage and the encouragement. That's the joy. That's the peace. That's the strength and comfort, the power and the victory. You just need two words: but God. And the greatest evil can become the greatest good. Death had taken Jesus captive, but God. Sin and Satan had seemed to win the day, but God. Darkness had triumphed, evil as well, but God. And so it may be for you. It may seem as you sit here today that sin has won the day over you. But I'm telling you, you just need two words and everything about your story can be changed in this moment. You just need a but God. God added to your story, and no matter the evil that the devil has brought against you, no matter the evil that seems to win the day over you, darkness triumphing over and in you, there can be resurrection victory in your life. Just two words to change everything. Then, for you and for me still today, for the evil that's come against you, for the difficulty that you find yourself in, for the impossibility. Listen, I know we know the story, but let me just take you to Friday as if you were reading it for the very first time. For the impossibility of a Friday death resulting in anything good. Let me just take you to Saturday. When Saturday you're left wondering, the bewilderment, the chaos, the confusion. What in the world just happened? It wasn't supposed to be like this. It wasn't supposed to happen this way. I'm just saying it the way it is. Jesus wasn't supposed to let us down like this. What's happened? What went wrong? In the mess of a Saturday, in the confusion and chaos of a Saturday, in the death and the betrayal and the brutality of a Friday, I'm telling you, you just need two words. But God. And your Friday and your Saturday can turn to a resurrection morning. And your greatest evil, the greatest evil against you, can become the greatest good for you. Let me illustrate that spiritually. Ephesians chapter 2. You and I, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead. There was no life in us. Dead, we were incapable of having a relationship with God. I think it's the truth that so many in our day seem to forget. They think they can be good enough to make it to heaven. They think they just won't be as bad as someone else, and that will make them then good enough for heaven. But when you're dead, you can't do anything. When you're dead, you're dead. You can't do anything to restore relationship. You can't do anything to make relationship right again. And dead is what we were. We were stuck with no way of getting ourselves unstuck. We were dead with no way of bringing ourselves back to life. The dead can't do that. The dead can't breathe life into a relationship that's dead. In verse 2 of Ephesians 2, you and I, we were dead in trespasses and sins in which we once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. We were sinful. We were wicked. One translation says it this way: we filled our lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We followed the ruler of this world. We lived our lives for Satan in Satan's way. We were content to be enemies of God, living our lives in rebellion against him, content to live for the devil and to live devilish lives. We were by nature children of wrath, destined for eternal destruction, eternal hell. And once more, we were all that and still dead. Nothing that we could do to change any of that. And that's it. That's the end of the description. That's the end of the story.
Except I know I talked to some saints of God this morning who know that that's not the end of the story, because there were two words yet to be added. But God, no matter how dead we were in our sin and trespasses, but God, no matter our animosity towards Him, but God, even our alignment with the devil, all we needed, just the two words, but God. In Ephesians 2 and verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up together, and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Don't you understand this morning? Sinful, wicked, dead in sin. Oh, but God. God made us alive and raised us up to sit with Jesus. You and I, we could never overcome the indictment presented against us in Ephesians chapter 2. We could never do anything to answer the charges brought against us there. We are guilty as charged, guilty of it all. But in the end, all we really needed, just two words, but God. But God made us alive. We were dead, but God made us alive. We were sinners and sinful, but God redeemed us, blood bought us, washed away all our sin, made us to be white as snow. We were enemies of God, but God, by His Son, made us to be children, joint heirs with Jesus, and even friends of God as well. But God made us alive together with Christ, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 5, you see at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. One translation says it this way: He didn't and He doesn't wait for us to get ready. He presented Himself for the sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. And even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway. We can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for. And we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice. But that's not us. That's not our story. We were powerless and we were worthless, ungodly, wicked, and sinful. No one's coming to our rescue. No one's coming to die for us, because nobody dies for the ungodly. That's it. We're stuck, forever condemned to die in our sin. That's the end of the story. Oh, but we know it's not. Because still two words to be added. But God demonstrates His love for us. In this, while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Though our sin problem was great, but God's grace was greater. Though our sin problem was great, oh, but God. God's love was greater for us beyond salvation. It's these two words, just these two words, that would bring resurrection power and resurrection hope. I pray it this morning, even into every aspect of your life, for what you're going through, what you're dealing with, maybe on the inside. Maybe there's a hopelessness that's settled over you, maybe a discouragement, a depression that has bound you. Maybe even something that's died inside of you. There used to be a hope. There used to be a faith. There used to be a belief that you had. God would come through. God would help. God would save the day. You used to be able to live in that. Maybe you feel a little bit like the disciples did on Saturday. One author writes this: so far as we know, there is
only been one day in the last 2,000 years when literally not one person in the world believed Jesus was alive. It's Saturday. Think of the hopelessness of that day. This is the day where Friday's despair and anguish is coupled with Saturday's confusion and bewilderment. Have you been there? All of a sudden, the trouble, but making the trouble even worse than just the trouble, is the confusion. God, where are you? God, why aren't you doing? Why aren't you helping? Don't you see me? Don't you see how miserable I am? I'm sinking here. God, where are you? Why aren't you helping? Why aren't you intervening? Those who believed in Jesus, maybe they gathered, quietly maybe. It's left to simply sit and wonder, what happened? Did Jesus fail? Did he end up being a failure? Noble attempt. Couldn't get enough followers. Couldn't convince the chief priests. Couldn't win over Rome to make peace. Couldn't get enough ordinary people to understand his message. He couldn't even train his disciples to be courageous at the moment of great crisis. It's Saturday. Everybody knows Saturday. Everybody knows what it is to live there. One author describes it this way. It's the day you wake up. You're still alive. You have to go on, but you don't know how, and worse, you don't know why. It's Saturday. As far as you know, come Saturday, deliverance is potentially never going to come. But God. And I'm telling you, for your Saturday, you might sit here on Resurrection Sunday, still living in Saturday. You might be here this morning, Resurrection Sunday, but you're still living in the death that came to you on Friday. Something that's broken inside of you, something that's hurting, the betrayal that cut deep, the confusion, the chaos, the disillusionment. Jesus, have you failed me? I'm telling you this morning, this is the message of the resurrection. No matter the brokenness that you maybe feel inside, no matter the joy and peace that the devil has stolen from you, no matter how overwhelmed you potentially feel, no matter the despair, the discouragement, no matter the depression that would seem to consume you even, over you and all you would be feeling and experiencing on the inside, the resurrection, listen to me, dear child of God, the resurrection would declare over you, but God. Just two words, but I'm telling you, two words are all you need. Depressed, discouraged, but God. But God would give to you his joy that would be for you your strength. Unsettled, anxious, and worried. All knots on the inside because of the uncertainty you feel. The fear, the dread you feel on the inside. What's going on? What's going to happen? How is life going to play out for me? How am I going to pay the bills? What's the doctor going to say at the next appointment? When's everything going to get back to normal? Will it ever? All that's got you all knotted up on the inside. Listen to me this morning. The resurrection declares over you, but God. But God give you today his peace that passes all understanding. Is there brokenness? Listen. But God would be your healer today and mend what's broken inside of you. But God, the God of all hope, would fill you today with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Genesis chapter 50, Joseph with his brothers, you intended to harm me. Oh, but you know what's coming next. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. In 1 Samuel 23, David stayed in the desert strongholds and in the hills of the desert of Ziph. Day after day, Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. But God No matter the enemy's plans to harm you, no matter his efforts to attack you, I'm telling you all you need this morning, two words. They're the resurrection words. But God. Does the devil mean you harm? Is he chasing after you? Do you feel him coming after you? Do you feel his grip reaching for you to steal and kill and destroy in you? Oh, but God. But God. Whatever the devil means for harm, but God can accomplish it for good. Whatever the attack against me, but God will protect me, will keep me safe, keep me out of the hands of mine enemy. In Psalm 34, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all. In Psalm 73, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. But God, in trouble, harassed and feeling helpless, but God delivereth, but God is the strength of your heart today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, no temptation has overtaken you except is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But God, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through, but hear the resurrection words today, this morning, dear believer. But God is faithful. But God is your shield. But God is your protector. But God is your deliverer. But God is your hiding place. But God is your provider. But God is your healer. In this world, we will have trouble. Jesus says so. But God, he is the one who overcomes the world with all its trouble. No matter how beat up and beat down I seem to be, but God, he leads me in triumphal procession. My walk through life is a victory parade. Why? Because the resurrection words have been spoken over me. But God, even though outwardly wasting away, but God is renewing us inwardly day by day, making us stronger and stronger, taking us from glory to glory. Against overwhelming circumstances, impossible kinds of struggles come in all shapes and sizes. I don't know what it necessarily looks like for you. Insufficient finances, a new diagnosis from the doctor, all of it leaves us feeling helpless. We see no way out, and we wonder how it will ever end. But don't miss it this morning. It's why we gather in this place, to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and the resurrection words, the two words that we need, even just the two words that we need, but God. I believe that God wants to write those words into your story. Sinner, dead in your sin and trespasses, let him write into your story today, but God. But God redeemed. But God rescued. But God restored. But God made me to be a child of his. But God. Sick, an incurable diagnosis. Hear the resurrection words today, but God. I believe God wants to write those two words into our story today. No matter what the doctor has said, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what it's seeming to be like for you, oh, I pray you don't discount the resurrection words. But God, bound by depression, by worry, by fear, imprisoned by some addiction, but God, I believe it. Dear brother, dear sister, on this Resurrection Sunday,
this gathering to celebrate. The King is risen. The King is alive. Mocked, yes. Ridiculed, yes. Scorned, yes. Beaten, yes. Nails piercing his hands and feet, yes. A spear in his side, yes. Forsaken, finished. Buried in a borrowed tomb, yes, yes, and yes. But then the two resurrection words, but God brought him to life again. And I believe it's what the Lord would do in our hearts and in our lives today. The very reason we celebrate would be the very thing that we would experience. Two words, just two words. But I believe that the only two words we really need today, but God, written into our story, making ours to be a resurrection celebration kind of story. Father, I pray this morning that even as we've proclaimed this word, your word has gone forth, and I believe it, I pray it in this moment, that just as it's supposed to do, your word would bring faith, would stir up faith inside of us. And God, no matter what it is, no matter how big the problem, no matter how long we face the difficulty, no matter how long the struggle's been, by way of your word, the preaching of your word and the hearing of your word, there would be stirred up within us a faith to believe that two words can change our story right here, right now, today, before we ever leave this place. God, I pray, would you speak it over your people? But God. But God. Whatever the sickness, whatever the financial need, God, you're the healer. You're the provider. So we declare it today. But God. But God, come on, dear brother, dear sister, let faith arise in your heart to believe that God can add two words to your story and change it forever. I just believe it. Not just because it is the day on the calendar, but I believe it for us. It's a resurrection day. I believe it. I believe it. Resurrection words spoken over us in this place. But God, but God. For the sinner, but God. For the one that's thought they've fallen too far out of grace, but God. For the one who thinks the sickness is too great, the addiction too strong, but God. Lord, we believe it today, and we proclaim it in this place. Resurrection power that comes changes our lives forever because of two simple words. Can I encourage you, just in this moment of response, would you just speak those words over your circumstances? Whatever it is that you're dealing with, I'm sick. There's a doctor's diagnosis on me. Come on, begin to speak it. But God, but God, but God. I've been struggling. The walk of faith is not what it's should have been, but God, but God. Come on, just begin to speak. Whatever you would think of this morning, whatever you would desire that the Lord would breathe resurrection life into today, over that thing, I just encourage you, declare the words, the resurrection words, but God, but God. Father, we thank you for that hope that we have. We thank you that our story is never finished. We thank you, God, that the devil, life, circumstances, not even we ourselves, get the last word, not ever. But God, you get the last word. And you get, in fact, the last two. As no matter how our story reads, you're able to include the resurrection words, but God, and change everything about our story. We thank you for that. We receive that today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you stand to your feet? I want to pray the blessing of the Lord over you as we prepare to go and enjoy our resurrection Sunday afternoon. However you're going to spend it, pray that it's good and most enjoyable for you as you celebrate. Come on, just once more, Jesus is alive. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive in you, my dear brother, my dear sister. He's alive in this place. He's powerful. He still heals. He still delivers. He still provides because he's alive. He's alive. We thank him for that. Hallelujah. We celebrate a risen Savior today. We celebrate a risen Savior. Would you extend your hands to receive the blessing of the Lord on this Resurrection Sunday? I pray it. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. Come on, I'm going to add it and write a "but God" into your story today, this week. I pray that's the goodness of God manifested in your life. The "but God" that's added to your story. The Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you this afternoon. He is risen. Amen.